Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord which engages this morning comes from our Old Testament lesson, Zephaniah. You may be seated. We don't give Zephaniah a lot of attention, or at least I must admit I haven't. I can't remember preaching on Zephaniah ever before in the 20 years I've been ordained, or the 15 years that I preached at college chapels before that. He's one of the 12 minor prophets, but even we kind of rank the minor prophets higher and lower. We have some longer ones like Hosea, Amos, and Zechariah, but then half are short, very short, like Obadiah, Nahum, and Zephaniah. Yesterday, Dr. Penhaligon had us open up our pew Bibles and use that to look at the book of Malachi. I invite you to do that again. And if you have any problem finding Zephaniah, it's just 10 pages in front of Malachi. We give Zephaniah little attention, too little attention. His name actually means Yahweh is hidden, or perhaps Yahweh's hidden treasure. He lived and he prophesied around 630 BC during the reign of good King Josiah, the boy king who tried to bring about a reformation in the land of Judah. Josiah had reigned after a series of bad kings, including his grandfather Manasseh and the short term of his father Amnon. Our text this morning, the last few verses of Zephaniah's prophecy, is wondrous gospel, good news for the people of God. But if you take and look back at the previous 2.5 chapters, you see a considerable amount of law, a harsh call to repentance that sounds very much like John the Baptist. A sampling from chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord says, I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Verse 4, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off from this place the remnant of Baal and the name of the idolatrous priests along with the priests. Verse 7, be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. When you pay attention to Zephaniah sometime more in the future, you will see that this day of the Lord theme is very prominent in Zephaniah's preaching. In verses 12 and 13, at that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Apparently, some at that time thought that Yahweh was disinterested in them, not paying attention to them, but they were wrong. In chapter 2, Zephaniah continues, but this time he prophesies against the countries around Judah and Israel, against the Philistines, the Moabites, the Cushites. But then in chapter 3, he returns to warn Jerusalem again. Verse 1, woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the oppressing city. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. In verses 4 and 5, he goes after those who are religious leaders. Her prophets are fickle, treacherous men. Her priests profane what is holy. They do violence to the law, to the Torah. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no injustice. Every morning he shows forth his justice. Each dawn he does not fail, but the unjust knows no shame. Yahweh is calling the religious leaders to task, sounding rather like James in chapter 3 when he says the teachers will be judged more strictly. But in verse 4, Zephaniah says, "Her priests proclaim what is holy." That word holy, kadosh, is actually in the singular. Of all the other major translations I looked at, King James, NIV, NASB, they all translate it as the sanctuary. That is, the temple. You see, Zephaniah's prophecy is probably just a decade or so before Josiah is killed in battle with Egypt. Babylon then sweeps in and takes over all of Palestine, including those countries that were warned in chapter 2. And they make, the Babylonians make Judah a vassal state as well. This is the time then that many, including Daniel, are taken into captivity. But other kings, sons of Josiah, are put into place. But these misguided kings try to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. And finally, Jerusalem and the sanctuary, that is Solomon's temple, the place of Yahweh's presence among his people, those are utterly destroyed by the Babylonians. The despair of judgment filled God's people. Yet Zephaniah, whose name means Yahweh is hidden, or Yahweh's hidden treasure, ends his sermon with hope, with the promise that the Lord has not abandoned them, that the text that you heard read earlier, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord is in your midst, a mighty one who will save." Solomon's temple was destroyed, but the Lord would still come into their midst and save them. Another temple, another holy sanctuary was coming, and I don't mean Zerubbabel's or Herod's temples. Centuries after Zephaniah, another prophet would come, John, and he would again call Israel and Jerusalem to repentance and point the people to a man named Jesus of Nazareth. The day of the Lord had come, but it was hidden. Even John wondered, is he the one, or should we expect another? This Jesus would be a hidden treasure, the hidden God in human flesh, who would come into their midst, into our midst. That Jesus would even come into the temple courts in John chapter 2 and drive out the money changers. And then he would be challenged by the unfaithful priests and religious leaders of that day. But he would say to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." That temple, Jesus' body, the most wondrous temple that ever came into our earth, was destroyed. That holy sanctuary, much greater than anything built by Solomon or Herod, suffered and was crucified for all the world, even those who had destroyed him. But through his death, the Lord has taken away the judgments against us. Through his resurrection, He has cleared away our enemies, even death itself. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. This Jesus is still in our midst, hidden in word and sacrament, but also in a wondrous way revealed and visible to the world through us, his church. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." May we, Yahweh's current dwelling place on earth, continue to live lives of repentance and to faithfully wait for him, both in his first coming and the celebration we will have of it in a few weeks, but even more so for his second coming, whenever that day will be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise and confess the faith that we have in our triune God in the words of the Nicene Creed.